Although, if I remember correctly, in that NeoSphere neoadjuvant study, they did have people with past CRs to just pertuzumab and trastuzumab. Did they ever figure out, or has it ever been figured out, like who those people are?
Well, you know, interestingly, and I've had patients on the same TBCRC study who had PCR to just HP. I mean, same study, same regimen, same dosing, and also stage two up front. Just recently had a patient with a pathologic complete response to HP alone. So it's absolutely true that some have gorgeous responses. You know, there's been a couple of efforts to identify subsets with greater and lesser responsiveness to HER2 targeting. As you know, in CALGB40601, which was dual versus single HER2 targeting, we did intrinsic subtyping, and we found that the HER2-enriched subtype, no matter what therapy you gave, whether it was single, you know, trastuzumab with paclitaxel or trastuzumab plus lapatinib plus paclitaxel, no matter what you gave, if the tumor was the HER2-enriched subtype, they had double the response rate, the PCR rate. They found the same thing in NeoAlto. They found the same thing in NOAA when they did the subset analysis there. So I think there's a consistency that intrinsic subtype has augmented sensitivity that you can predict. And it's also true that immune signatures and TILs also seem to independently confer augmented sensitivity to HER2 targeting. So I think, you know, your question is an excellent one, because right now we have the opportunity to try and figure out how to be more thoughtful and how to tailor HER2 targeting in a way that I don't think we could before.
But I guess, and I remember when I first saw that data, I thought about, you know, the frail elderly patient where you'd love to avoid chemo, whether it's neoadjuvant. I mean, even I guess in the metastatic setting, from a practical perspective, is there any way that a clinician right now can do that?
Not yet. I would say we're pretty close. As you know, certain, you know, immune kind of identifying an activated immune system, either through TILs, which is very practical, or through immune signatures, is pretty close to validation using various methods. Subtyping, you know, subtyping is available to some degree, but not in HER2-positive disease. But it's possible that some of the existing, you know, those intrinsic subtypes are part of Prosigna. They are part of MammaPrint, or actually the blueprint component of MammaPrint. So there are commercial assays where we may be able to get to it, but it's not approved for those purposes, and we can't conventionally receive that information. And to be honest, we need to validate that these things hold up. But I think we're pretty close because there's a fair amount of data and there's a lot of interest in this as a topic.
Again, I mean, and thinking maybe more about metastatic disease and, you know, the question, for example, are there situations, for example, ER positive, HER2 positive disease, where you can make a shot, take a try at going without chemo, endocrine therapy, anti-HER therapy, again, older, elderly patient. Do you ever in that situation just try not using chemotherapy and see what happens? And then if they don't respond, add in the chemo. Kind of reminds me a little bit of the strategy that sometimes you see in prostate where they give the endocrine therapy. If they don't have a great response, they'll add in chemo. Is that something you ever do?
I do. And I think, you know, you certainly can choose on an individual case-by-case basis. It's typically those patients who don't have, you know, a lot of visceral disease where you really need the highest bang for the buck up front. But if you have the, you know, opportunity in an asymptomatic patient and you want to try an all biologic regimen, I think it's perfectly reasonable to do so. You know, and if they happen to be hormone receptor positive and HER2 positive, then I think those patients are also reasonable to try endocrine plus HER2 targeting and reserve the chemotherapy approaches for later on.
This case also brings up the issue of what to do with the patient who's had neoadjuvant therapy with residual disease. I'll ask you also about what you do, and we'll talk today about triple negative, ER positive, HER2 negative also. But specifically in terms of HER2 positive disease, when people have residual disease, first of all, what trial options are out there? What are some of the trials that are looking at this situation? And what about adding in pertuzumab? This lady just got trastuzumab as adjuvant therapy. What about using pertuzumab? And then I'm going to ask you afterwards, what about using neratinib after that's all done?
Well, you know, so at the moment, I think there's actually some trials in development for residual disease. There isn't, that I'm aware of, any data regarding changing therapy in the residual disease setting using something other than conventional HER2 targeting in the way that we have with capecitabine, for example, in triple negative.
Well, is it the ATTEMPT trial that's comparing T-DM1 to trastuzumab?
Yeah, that was an adjuvant trial.
I thought there was a post, maybe it was the NSABP had a residual HER2 or no? Nobody's doing it.
Well, so SWOG has a pembro study in triple negative that's ongoing.